Welcome to 70s Beatles.
I'm Kate.
And I am Scott. On this podcast, we take a solo album from each of the former Beatles, and taking turns, we each pick songs to fill up what would be our theoretical, hypothetical, what if the Beatles stayed together album. Using John's own suggested template of four songs apiece for George, Paul, and himself, along with one or two Ringo tunes, we build out our individual albums. After a month or so, we go back and using Spotify data, we calculate the percentage increase in the number of plays for each track. We then total these percentages and see which one of us holds the winning album.
And our newest winner will be announced today. This is the results episode for our sixth batch of albums. The albums we chose were Venus and Mars by Paul McCartney and Wings, Rock and Roll by John Lennon, Extra Texture by George Harrison, and Ringo's 1975 singles, The No-No Song and Goodnight Vienna.
So let's go through and recap our picks. I put together a track list, which I called Bony Maroney, because I didn't know what else to call it, and I thought that was funny. We actually start the album with Bony Maroney, then we go to the Venus and Mars reprise, followed by Can't Stop Thinking About You, You Can't Catch Me, Letting Go, Gray Cloudy Lies, and the side ends with Goodnight Vienna. Flipping it over, you get Just Because, Lovin' Song, Sweet Little 16, Tired of Midnight Blue, which I think segues nicely into the No-No song, followed by Treat Her Gently, Lonely Old People, and at the end we have The Answers at the End.
My album, which I decided to call Magneto and Mars, kicks off with Rock Show, which I feel like is a great opener. And then it goes into Stand By Me, Ain't That a Shame, Peggy Sue, This Guitar, You, World of Stone closes out side one. Side two opens with Ooh Baby, followed by Ooh Wee. And then Snookeroo, Call Me Back Again, Magneto and Titanium Man, Slipping and Sliding, and then I close it out with Venus and Mars. When I was putting this track list together, I felt like I had to kind of keep most of, I don't know, George's stuff, like, together. And then I kept the Ringo stuff together, too. I was just kind of having a hard time, like, everything around because the George stuff is so the way that it is.
Yeah.
So I felt like I was kind of sandwiching the beginning and end of the album with the more upbeat Paul stuff with John in there occasionally, and then I was like kind of putting George and Ringo there in the middle.
Yeah, no, those songs make more sense next to each other, I think. So it was, you know, I just stopped trying to make sense and just went for, you know.
That's probably the way to go.
Tonal whiplash, but yeah, I think splitting up Venus and Mars and Rock Show was an interesting choice, particularly ending with Venus and Mars, but I liked it.
Yeah.
To hear our whole selection process where we picked these tunes, check out the last month's episode. And, you know, we will have Spotify playlists linked up so you can listen to our various albums, quote unquote, and you can track the Spotify data along with us. So, you know, we've thought of everything. You're welcome.
So in this results episode, we're going to, of course, announce our Spotify data winner. We're also going to get into some fun data. We'll find the top performing songs for each respective Beatle and find the top three performing songs overall. And we will round it all out with a segment called Beatles in the News. Let's get into it.
It had to happen. I won two in a row.
Yeah.
And finally got a large enough margin that my total is pulled ahead of you. So I got 193.01 to your 148.11 this round. And
yeah,
gives me a total of 971.29 to 950.42. But I feel kind of like I'm cheating because one of those songs blew up in a way that I did not expect, and I don't think anyone would have. So
yeah, I'm excited to talk about that. Yeah, because this is like I was winning like overall in the last episode, but it was really close,
yeah.
And it had been really close for the last couple of, for every batch, I feel like, so far. But in this round, you like pulled ahead. You have almost a 50-point difference for the round, and now like a 20-point difference for the overall. So this was like dramatic data here.
Yeah. Well, there was, oddly enough, a big surge in The Answers at the End of all the songs.
Interesting.
From Extra Texture, I got like 15 points off of that. So that's mostly why I won, is I Bang that one. And also, this one is crazy. Letting Go increased 7%.
Dang. Okay, there must be something like behind that. I would like to know.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure if there was something happening that featured those songs or whatnot. But yeah, Letting Go is like most of my victory right there. So I props to Paul McCartney and Wings for helping me out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Although neither one of us picked the best performing song for this batch, which is weird. But we will go through the best performing from each artist here. John got a 1.35% increase with Slippin' and Sliding. I got the 7.15% with Letting Go. And then A Bit More of You, that 30 Seconds of the You song, got a 12.65% increase, making it the number one overall now.
No way.
Yeah, well, the No-No song only increased 1.14. But yes, A Bit More of You is now the number one song, and the number two song is now Letting Go. So the top two songs came from this batch, which I did not think was our most spectacular batch of albums.
Yeah, I would never have guessed that. That's crazy. That's so fun. So this is like out of all the songs that we have covered, and we're into what, like 6 or 7 years of Beatles solo music now, these two have got the two highest spots. Interesting. I should not have doubted this batch. This is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, A Little Bit More of You, I think, only had, let me check. A Little Bit More of You only started out with like 239,000 and then jumped up to 269,000. So it's not a lot, but because it started so small,
it
weighed heavily on that. And neither one of us picked it because why would you pick that?
Yeah.
But yeah, that one's going to be tough to beat. I don't think anyone's going to unseat that one. So
12.65. Yeah, that's like almost double Letting Go, which is in the number two spot at like 7.15.
Yeah. Wow. Ram On Reprise is still holding on to spot three at 3%. But that is, I think this is the first time anything's jumped in the top three since like batch two. So
Yeah, it's been a while.
Alan, oddly enough, Venus and Mars and Extra Texture both did very well in the overall album increases, being number two for Venus and Mars and number five for Extra Texture, respectively. So again, I am at a loss, but there you go.
No explanation, but yeah. So Paul has for the album increases overall, Paul has the first four spots with Ram in number one, Venus and Mars in number two, Red Rose Speedway in number three, and McCartney in number four. And then George snuck in there with Extra Texture for number five.
Yeah, of all the George albums, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Like, okay.
I know the 51st anniversary reissue of Living in the Material World just dropped like a day or two ago, so if we had timed it better, that might have had more of a
impact,
an increase, but who knows.
Yeah.
It's still sitting pretty tight at number seven, but that is weird.
Yeah.
Extra Texture.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe just with there being a George drop in general, like people listen to his other albums more as well, and maybe that could be some explanation for the Extra Texture jump, but that is pure speculation. I don't know.
Yeah, again, we don't know, but that either that or I calculated the numbers wrong, but it looks like yes, it was A Bit More of You got a bit more love this month. So that's pretty much it for this Spotify data. I mean, Rock and Roll came in at number 11 with a 1.16 increase, and Ringo's singles for the had a tie for number 17 at 0.94. Not the worst, but about what you would have expected.
All right, and to round it off here, I read the news today. Oh boy, here is our Beatles in the News segment. We're going to talk about all of the relevant Beatles recently in the news stuff that's happening at the time we record this episode. Looks like the Beatles' 1964 U.S. albums are being reissued as a big vinyl box set. Tell me more.
Yes. I don't know why, because they haven't done this in a long time, but they have decided to revert to the original U.S. versions of the mono records, and they're putting them out in a box set. I guess they didn't get the Rubber Soul box set done in time or something. But so you can get, you know, instead of Meet the Beatles, you get Introducing the Beatles, and it has like that weird Something New by the Beatles and the version of Hard Day's Night with all the score on it. And if you get the box set, you even get this 2-disc documentary album that was a cheapo cash grab from 1964. And so it sounds like after years of trying to introduce the Beatles to younger viewers by remixing the albums so they're not so harsh on headphones, they're going back and trying to make the original fans happy. So people who grew up, who saw the Ed Sullivan Show in person in 1964, they're making not the best artistic decision, but the stuff that they grew up with and they liked, and they put it all into a big box set. And I don't know why you would need to buy it, because you can get all these albums for about $5 a piece at your local record store, but they're nice, new, and shiny. So
yeah,
that is your Christmas purchase if you have to buy your Christmas purchase every year.
There you go.
Let's see. Also, the trailer just dropped for this, and this will be out by the time you hear it, but there's a new documentary that coincides with the whole 1964 Beatlemania first invasion. It's produced but not directed by Martin Scorsese, and it's on Disney Plus, which has somehow become the new home for everything Beatles. I don't know how they managed to do that, but
yeah, they bought the IP.
Yes, they did. So, and I mean, there was that documentary directed by Ron Howard like 2-3 years ago, 8 Days a Week, that was also about them. So I'm not sure how they're not repeating themselves, but the trailer looked exciting, so I'll probably watch it when it comes out. So we will see. Yeah,
for sure. I will also. That sounds good. I just resubscribed to Disney Plus, so that works out.
Yeah, I only subscribe for Get Back. So
nice.
That, got me again.
Yeah. Also, so on a previous Beatles in the News segment, I think this was back in maybe like a year ago. It's November right now, so I think it was November of last year, just about. We had talked about how there was a brand new Beatles song, Now and Then. And on Friday last week, so that was November 8th.
Someday like that.
Yeah. Yes. Friday, November 8th. Now and Then was nominated for a Grammy. So this is their first Grammy nomination since 1997. They are sitting in the category with contemporary artists, including Beyonce, Taylor Swift, and Billie Eilish. I think I'm trying to remember what the nomination's for. I want to say it's best like record or best song.
Yeah.
Those are actually two different categories, best record and best song, which is interesting. I think they also got nominated. I think they have two nominations. One is for, like I said, either best record or best song, and then the other one is best rock performance category.
Yeah, the Grammys are confusing, and I've never
quite
understood them. I'm always happy when someone I like wins, but I never get too upset when someone I like doesn't win or doesn't get nominated, because the whole thing seems so just spin the bottle random.
Yeah, that behind the curtain. I agree. Yeah. I don't know, like, what is the criteria for making the selections? I feel like that's all kind of, and like, who's making the decisions, you know?
Yeah, what's the difference between a rock performance and a rock record and a rock song? And I mean, again, congratulations, but I mean, even the Oscars make more sense than this, so I don't worry a whole lot about it.
Yeah. So, I actually looked into this because last year I was confused about this. The difference between, like, the best record category and the best song category. And this is the explanation I found. And, like, this also, this is not, like, totally straightened out in my brain, but it helps. Is, like, so a song is, best song is, like, the musical composition. So, like, the written song. Whereas,
so it was the piece of paper that has like notes and words on it. Okay,
yes,
that's
exactly.
The song.
Whereas best record is like the recording of that composition.
I could see that. I could see there being a really good recording of a really bad song and vice versa. So,
yes, yeah.
I mean, it is kind of splitting hairs, but okay.
Yes,
good
I
for
agree.
Them.
I think it was more like, I want to say like it was, because there were Grammys in like the 50s, right?
Yeah, it's been around.
So
forever.
I want to, like, back in the 50s when people like Stoller and Lieber, like, they were the ones writing the songs. So, like, the Grammy would go to them for, like, a given song. But maybe, like, Elvis sang the song, So like the best record would go to Elvis. Does that make sense?
That makes some sense. It's less germane now that most artists write their own material.
Right.
In no small part to the Beatles. So
right. Yes.
But they're not going to update that anytime soon. I'm surprised. You know, it's yeah.
Yeah. All right. That is all we have for Beatles in the news currently. We do need to kind of talk through like a little bit of a dilemma that we have moving forward with the next couple of albums. Scott, you want to give like an overview of the problem that we're facing?
Yes, the 70s Beatles has reached a crossroads in that John Lennon has no more albums that he released in the 70s. His next album doesn't come out until 1980, and we will cover it along with other Beatle albums from that time period. But the question is, that leaves out a number of good records, not just, you know, everything had matched up semi-chronologically up to this point. You know, the batches are fairly even, but then we got like, what, 3 albums by Paul and 2 by George and a couple by Ringo. And I mean, we don't want to leave John out, so we're not going to do like traditional picking of songs, but we are going to sort of dive into these albums. So we're trying to hash out how best we look at these, what, 7 or 8 albums.
Yeah.
We'll have to figure it out.
Yeah. So the dilemma being that, like, we don't want to skip the great discussion that would happen around some of these albums that kind of happen in the interim, some of which are like 33 and a Third by George Harrison, which is one of my favorites, and Wings at the Speed of Sound. But how do we kind of bridge that gap in between? And we had a couple ideas thrown around. One was to do like a solo episode, maybe like chronologically. One was to do a solo episode for each artist. What are your thoughts?
I mean, we could go and try and dig through all the demos that John recorded during this time period, but A, they're not very well fleshed out, and B, there's just not that many of them. He was, I mean, not as retired as he liked to say, but he was fairly retired, so trying to do that would be, it just make John look sad. So
yeah.
I think our best bet is we got 2 albums by George. We got the self-titled 1979 Yacht Rock album and the terrific 1976 33 and a Third. And we got 3 albums that Ringo put out in this time. Ringo's Rotogravure, which was, you know, the last thing John appeared on before Hibernation. We got the disco album Ringo the Fourth, and then Bad Boy. I don't know if we'll go through the whole albums of Ringo's, but each of them had like 2 singles. So we'll at least talk about that. And maybe we will just tie that into one episode, the George and Ringo episode. And we won't play Spotify bets, but we will sort of talk about our general feelings about the albums and songs we would have liked to have picked if we got the chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the most fair way to do it.
Yeah, and I like that idea. Gives Ringo a little bit of like a more of a spotlight.
Yeah.
You know, a little tension.
Yeah. Yeah, but we don't have to like sit and wait, you know, to see whether the whatever Hey Baby got any points on Spotify for the month, because that'll just be one episode. And then we have 3 albums of varying strength from Paul and Wings before Wings breaks up, which is we got Wings at the Speed of Sound, and we got London Town, and then we got Back to the Egg. So we got one with the new lineup, one where everyone left again, and one with yet another new lineup. So it's Paul trying to keep Wings together, and we can sort of discuss those 3 albums and all the songs off of them in the episode after that.
Yeah, I think that sounds great. It'll give kind of like an intermittent, some context to like what was happening in the years in between where we left off with Dispatch 6 and then where we pick up in 1980 with all of them, because I'm sure there's a lot to talk about with Wings in particular, because the next Paul album that we discuss in context with all the others in 1980, he's not a part of Wings anymore, so it'd be good to kind of have that segue. And then I'm excited to kind of give some of those albums, especially 33 and a Third, a little more space for discussion, yeah. You know, and kind of its own thing.
Yeah, and I think it makes sense not to try and create cohesive hypothetical albums out of these,
because right.
You think it was tough with this last batch. I can't imagine trying to find some sort of common ground between Here Comes the Moon right. and Old Siam, Sir. So
yeah. So it'll be just kind of like a special bonus episode kind of a thing where we talk about a collection in time of George's and Ringo's albums and then of Paul's. Does that sound?
Yeah, I think that's the best way to handle it, because yeah, we tentatively talked about it, but we hadn't really decided till now, and I think we're deciding. So
yeah.
Stay tuned next month, next year it'll actually be, because this one will drop in December. So in January we will have our George and Ringo in the latter half of the 70s discussion, and then in February we will talk about the end of Wings.
Yeah. And then we'll pick back up with our 1980 albums in March.
Yes, which, you know, we'll still call ourselves 70s Beatles, but yes, it'll be technically 1980, 81-ish.
Yeah. So. All right. Sounds good. Sounds like we have a plan.
We do. So hopefully you guys are as excited about that as I am. These are some odd albums that I'm looking forward to digging back into, so this will be definitely interesting. And we thank you again for joining us this far. I know it's been a wild ride, but... Again, ask that you smash that subscribe button, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.